Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody out there on iTunes and SoundCloud and Spotify and all the apps that are on the webs. Welcome to Broadway Breakdown. I am your co-host, Matt Koplik, and with me today is, via Zoom, is a lovely little newsy birdie flyboy named Mr. Daniel Quadrino. Some have known him as Danny Quadrino, but if you don't know him, you don't get to call him Danny. Hi, Danny.
Hi, what's up? That was a really great introduction.
I'm so professional. It's like straight out of Oprah, you know, the way that I introduce
myself. I love it. You are Oprah. That's probably who I'd like compare you to if I had to pick someone as Oprah.
You know what? I thank you so much for that. I don't know if this is going to sound problematic to people.
Do you also love bread?
Yes, I love bread. And if I could, I'd give everyone a car. But
that's really nice.
I could totally do it if I wanted to. I just don't want to. When I saw The Color Purple on Broadway 3 times, my friend Tyler was like, yeah, because your inward spirit animal is a belting black woman. So he's like, that makes sense. You would see it 3 times. So yes, thank you. I am Oprah. How are you doing today, Mr. Danny?
I'm good. You know, I'm just, it's only noon here in cloudy Cali today. So
that's right. Danny's in California.
Yeah, I've been making sure that, you know, I wake up at 10 every day, or I try to, and, you know, try to start my day. I make sure I eat a breakfast and just go from there, because there's nothing to do but stay inside.
It is true. It is true. What brought you out to California before everything hit the fan?
I was doing a new musical called Fly at La Jolla Playhouse, and La Jolla Playhouse is amazing, and they're letting us stay in their housing while all of this is going on. So, like, thank you, La Jolla Playhouse. You're amazing.
Fuck yeah.
But I was doing a new show, and it was a modern take on Peter Pan, but from Wendy's eyes, and it was really, really awesome. We did 27 previews and 2 shows after opening, and then we got canceled.
Girl, that's better than Glory Days, so good for you.
You know, it was weird, because we did the opening night, and after opening, we all were kind of like, all right, it feels like that was closing too. Like, it literally, like, the opening night performance was something I haven't felt something that electric since closing night of Newsies. Like, no joke.
Yeah.
And I remember the applause after the first time you see the Lost Boys. Mm-hmm. It's called, the song's called We Not Boys. And we do this like whole thing about like drumming and like whatever. And then like the audience like seriously clapped for like 2.5 minutes, and we were like just holding the pose, and I was like, all right, well, we gotta keep this show going. It's only 2 seasons. But it was so cool. It was such a cool experience. And I hope it's not the end of the life for Fly. Fun fact, I was in my flying harness getting hooked up when we got the email that we were canceled. We were doing understudy rehearsal. I was about to go up and start the show. So, you know, but here we are.
Here we are. This is your second time playing a Lost Boy then, or was your second time playing a Lost Boy?
Yeah. Once a Lost Boy, always a Lost Boy. Once a Newsie, always a Newsie. I guess that's like my brand. I don't know. Yeah.
Always and forever.
I was Toodles. So it was cool. Like, it was cool because we like explored a little bit of the like, you didn't learn about it, but like we talked a lot about like the Lost Boys backstory and like how we got there and like why we came to Neverland and what the Neverland meant to us. Like, the Neverland means something a little different than it does in all the other versions of Peter Pan. And I don't know, I don't want to say too much about the actual like premise of the show, just in case like it happens again, because it's like really cool and it's really special, but the music is amazing. The book is so funny. The cast is like incredible. Eric Anderson as Captain Hook is truly iconic. And yeah, it's been such an awesome time working on a new musical, because like I've never done something like this. Like I've always either replaced in a show or like I did Birdie, like where it was a revival, so it wasn't like brand new,
yeah,
you know, but this is like brand new and things were changing like every day up until opening. It was really cool and exciting.
Did you guys have a lot of changes during previews for Bye Bye Birdie, or was it mostly kind of like tweaks?
Just little tweaks, and like I think the number that changed the most was Got a Lot of Livin'.
Got it.
I remember we were doing that dance all the time.
What was the original concept for it?
For Lot of Livin',
yeah.
Well, it's just like it's the same thing as it is everywhere. It was just like, when is the giant jungle gym gonna come charge down stage on a track and we're gonna flip off of it and like run around? And like,
I forgot you guys had that set.
Yeah. Telephone Hour never changed.
Rightfully, it shouldn't have.
Once we got all the autography with like the big booths that we were using, like there was no going back, because that shit was insane. There was one night, so like, I love an onstage mishap. I love it, especially if no one gets hurt. So there was like a conveyor belt that like we would like ride all of our like booths onto like this conveyor belt. Like it was like downstage. And we were all in one straight line, and like the playoff would happen, and like we would start like going off into the wings, and it was like moving and moving and moving, and as we were moving on, Kim's bed would come on, and Ursula was like the last person on the conveyor belt, so it was like boop 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 boop, and then like we would all be off, and then Ursula would be on one side of the stage, Kim was on the other. And what happened one night is that we're riding up on the playoff, and then all of a sudden I just hear like a bang, and I'm like, okay. And the conveyor belt just like stops, and I hear little Deanna Cipolla, my little love. She is like kind of yipping, like not like hurt, but like, oh my God, like something was gonna like all the telephone booths were coming at her and like just like falling on her booth. So like the stagehand like picked her up, moved her, and then started moving all of the telephone booths like from like this pile that happened. I call it the Great Telephone Massacre of 2009. And I was on the end, and I was like, literally out loud, I was like, well, fuck. And then I like turned around and like scooted my little like telephone booth off wing 3 with my friend Jillian. And that was probably the funniest thing that I ever had during that show stop wise.
Were there many show stops then, or that was just like the funniest
one? There was one other one. So during Lot of Livin', like the whole set like moved off and everything was on a track, but like the refrigerator door was like on a hinge, and like it swung open somehow with the momentum, and then it kept going like this on the wing and got stuck. It was like boom, 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 boom on the wing, where like realistically they could have just like, someone could have just done it and they would have gone on, but our Conrad Birdie stopped the show and without telling anybody. Like meanwhile, like, when like a show stops, like you go until you hear hold, really.
Yeah.
But I love a show stop. I've had a few, like every show I've done, the show has stopped.
So maybe the problem is you then.
Maybe. I think I should just quit.
You're like, you are to show stops what Taylor Swift is to boyfriends. It's like after the 9th or 10th one, maybe it's you, Taylor.
Maybe it's me.
But
in Fly, there's a lot of, there's a lot of flying. Well, okay. So I'll get the Fly later. But Birdie, those were the only two. Mm-hmm. And then in Newsies, I remember there was like this giant fan in the towers that was like, like so loud over, I don't know if you know the show, but there's like a love duet between Catherine and Jack called Something to Believe In.
Did you just ask if I know Newsies?
I don't know. I don't want to assume anything.
I appreciate that. But first of all, you know me. So you know that I know musicals.
I know.
But also, I happen to, I also personally know now, like, probably 7 Newsies.
18,000 Newsies. I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot.
There's so many Newsies in my life now. So yes, I know the show. I know the love duet.
So like, this fan was happening on the towers, and they had to stop the show because of that. Mm-hmm. And then also, during that time, the show didn't stop, but my first onstage mishap at Newsies was my opening night during Carrying the Banner. We all turn around and we're like, we'll all be out there okay. And we had like hits on 5 and 7 or whatever it was. And I had to hit my hat on 5 and then put it on 7. But I went like, well, I'll be out there. And I went to hit it on 5 and my hat flew off level 3 of the tower, landed on the deck. And I was like, well, shit, if anything else goes wrong, like, I guess like nothing could be worse than that. But thankfully nothing else went wrong that day. And one of the other newsies, Aaron Albano, threw me my hat and I like was able to get it like before the next bit of choreography. I remember being so terrified that day. That was such a scary day.
your first performance of Newsies?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, the physical element of that show is insane. The singing element is insane. Those towers move around. They could knock you the fuck over.
Yeah.
And then
I was actually lucky though, because they got a new deck put in like the time that I was joining. So I got an extra like week and a half of rehearsal because it worked out somehow that I got a little bit of extra rehearsal time. But yeah, there was some scary shit during those towers. If those were coming down and you were in the wrong spot, you had to run.
Oh yeah. That shit is choreographed to the last detail. And then on top of all that, the scariest thing of all, you guys have a very passionate fan base. And some of them know boundaries and some of them don't.
Okay, I have a story about not knowing boundaries. So I was coming out of the stage door at Newsies because I was the only way out. Mm-hmm. And no shade on that. I was just saying.
No, that's how you get out of the theater.
You couldn't sneak out, like, if you had to run somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was coming out of signing labels or whatever, and this girl who saw the show, like, I don't know how many times, but she I got to her, and I was like, oh, hi, like, and once you recognize people from how many times you've seen the show, and I'm like, oh, hey, what's up, like, how are you? And she gave me notes on my performance, or tried to. And she was like, yeah, like everybody was like up on 6 and like you weren't, like what happened? And I literally looked at her and I said, you don't get to do that.
No.
I love how much you love the show, but you cannot give an actor notes. Like
was her tone like, hey, Danny, what happened? Or was she like, Daniel, what happened today?
I'm sassy, so everyone thinks that everyone is sassy with me, and it was just, it was just kind of like a sassy kind of like comment, which she didn't mean it in any like she didn't mean it, but like it was still like, you can't do that, like you can't.
That's not your territory.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's the danger though with social media and with the intimacy of Broadway with fan bases, and I say this as someone who has been a lifelong fan of the theater, but there's this false sense of like familiarity. So, and I'm not trying to shade fan bases, but so for example, you're on social media.
Not at all.
Media.
Like we love them.
We absolutely love them. They gave Adam Kaplan M&Ms with his face on it, but
I once tweeted I liked Mike and Ike's and I had 32 boxes of Mike and Ike's on my station.
I remember you saying that.
Two fancies.
I think that might be in the baking it video, you saying that, and then your roommates were like, can you tweet that you like toilet paper? Because we really
Yes. right now, hey guys, can you send me toilet paper? I know the world is running low.
You know what I really love is beans and eggs. Could you guys just send me a couple of those?
And flour and yeast.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
I can't find yeast anywhere. We wanna bake bread. We wanna make our own bread, but nowhere has yeast.
No.
Not Broadway related, but.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on the show and the people, but yeast could be related.
I'm the biggest fan of Waitress. I saw Waitress 6 times and I am not ashamed to say it.
Of course.
Saw it 6 times. I love it. I want to play Jenna.
She's a complex female character. You should absolutely want to play her.
Yeah. But could you imagine, or also like when I was in high school, I was a huge fan of Next to Normal. And could you imagine if I now like I go up to Alistair being like, hey, what happened during I Miss the Mountains tonight? Like if I like was just like a ballsy fan, like, and I was just like, I never imagined saying something to someone. I was so nervous to talk to anyone. I'd be like, oh, can you sign my playbook?
Yeah. Like, it's crazy. I mean, I love that kids now who are into theater have a sense of self and voice that I know a lot of us 100%. Did when we were their age. That's fantastic. But it is a double-edged sword. This is not black and white. It's a gray area.
Totally. But I will say that, like, I appreciate anybody who ever, like, waits at the stage door, says hello, asks me to sign something, and, like, says hi to me. Like, I just, because that was me growing up. Like, mm-hmm. I was totally that kid at the stage door. So, like, don't get this twisted. I'm not mad at anyone for giving me a note. It's just a funny story.
Yeah, but I mean, stage dooring is a privilege and it's a luxury. It's not a right. And that is something that I think a lot of people forget is, so like, when people get mad when, say, so for, let's say, for example, when you were in Wicked, if there was a day you did the show, but you were kind of feeling sick. And so you're like, I'm just going to go straight home. Not
I go out the back.
Exactly. But so like, if there was someone waiting for you at the stage door and was super pissed you didn't come out that day. And they're like, how dare he? It's like, well, no, every day is different. And you don't owe that to anybody. So when you're coming out,
I've never encountered that. Like if that like ever happens, like if I wasn't feeling well and mm-hmm. I knew that there was someone there that wanted to say hello to me, either I would like actually make sure I say hi. Cause especially mm-hmm. at Wicked, I would leave a lot. Like just mm-hmm. like I would be the first one out. Like, cause like in that show, we would underdress our like street clothes at the end of the show. Like it was like mm-hmm. built into the track that you do that because then you get out earlier. And like I was first out and like, people knew that I was in the show or whatever. And like, unless someone like tweeted or someone said that I was there, like I would like most likely miss people. I remember one time I was really sick and this girl who traveled all the way from Japan to see Wicked. And like, she was there for like a week seeing shows and mm-hmm. her name is Kayo. And she sends like amazing pop-up 3D cards. And like, she sent me a bunch of stuff. And then I missed the show that she was at. And I've never felt worse about myself because I was like, oh my God, like I feel so bad that I was like, I couldn't help that I was sick, but like, I felt so bad that like she, you know, like she obviously got to meet everybody else and like, that's really cool. She still got to see the show, but like, I don't know. I felt really bad. And like, I remember like talking to her on like Instagram or social media and I'm just like feeling terrible.
Yeah, but I'm sure she understood, you know, some things you just can't control. It wasn't like you went to Sardi's and had dinner with some random person instead of meeting her. You're not a total dick. You're just like 50%.
Half.
Yeah, exactly. Halfway of a dick. It also should be noted, guys, so usually when I have guests on and John Wiskavich, my co-host, is not here, it's because we're doing an obsession of some sort. Now, to be fair to Daniel, I did record with him a long time ago, and we did an obsession. And then, because I'm a stupid little bitch, I lost the audio. So this recording has been a long time coming. I know, I'm a stupid bitch. However, Danny and I are now recording today, and Danny cannot.
Did you press record?
Yes, I'm recording. Fuck you. I'm recording right now. I will punch you. You may be 3,000 miles away. I will punch you in the face. Yes, right through the screen.
I will like, zoom punch you.
Like it'll be like The Ring, but gay and very street. So this is to say, this time around, Danny doesn't have an obsession, but he has multiple obsessions, and together we shall gab through them all. So if you're waiting for one specific subject today, sorry, not sorry.
You might not get it.
We're not going to get to it. It's going to be multiple subjects.
I will say onstage mishaps is one of my obsessions. I love that.
We can totally just keep going with that theme. I mean, you've been
in shows. I have so many more.
Well, you've been in shows that are just sort of waiting to have mishaps. You were in Wicked. You did Newsies. Birdie, not to throw shade at you, but Birdie itself was kind of a mishap.
Dead. I will say there was another mishap on stage at Birdie. And I remember I understudied Hugo. And there aww. Was a time where during Lotta Livin', like Hugo runs out and he's like, Kim, where are you? But like, I guess like somehow Matt lost track of time for a second and was like a couple of seconds late for the entrance. And you could hear running through the halls and like in the wind coming through the mic, being like, Kim, like running on stage. And I was like, 17, like, and as the understudy, I'm like, do I just turn around and say lines? Like, I don't know what to do. Like, and I just, like, thankfully I didn't have to do anything else. But, like, it was one of the funniest and scariest moments because I was like,
what do we do in this moment?
Like, what do we do in this moment? at Wicked, I only dealt with one show stop, and it was because of Rachel Tucker, the queen.
Did she just riff so much that she broke the sound system?
No, she actually like kind of saved someone's life. So they were, she was singing "I'm Not That Girl," and all of a sudden she's like, "Can someone bring the lights up?" And we were all like, "What?" I remember being like in my rat costume, like just like being like in the wing, like, "What is happening?" And then she walked off stage and she's like, "Is there a doctor in the house?" And someone was having like a seizure or something in the house, and we had to like stop the show for like a couple of minutes, and then they like brought that person out. I was like, "Come on, Rachel."
Yeah.
Saving lives. But I had one no fly show. That was the only time. I only had one in my 2.5 years there.
I was about to say, one no fly show. Look at that track record. And by no fly show, we mean
she don't fly. She runs downstage and sings her face off.
So to quote Whitney Houston, defying gravity happened, and she turned to, and Whitney turns to Alpha and she goes, "Why are you down there?
Why are you down there?" Actually, I was like, "Why are you?" That was me, because Elphaba was on my mark, and I'm supposed to be downstage center, being like, "Look at her, she's wicked." And now I'm like, "Well, Elphaba's on my mark, and now I have to lay down." I probably should have been fired that day, because I was like holding back tears of laughter, because I was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening." Like, middle school me was dead, because yeah. Like, I wrote fan mail to Shoshana Bean in middle school, and like my whole Wicked experience was full of like, "Oh my God, I was such a fan of this. I was in the online Wicked Day singing contest in the top 10
yas bitch
yep. in 2004 I really just love Wicked, and I still do.
As well, you said it's slaps. Yeah. that listen, that
it still slaps. But it's so crazy that in my 2.5 years I only had one show stop and one no fly show. Like, yeah, pretty wild.
Considering Birdie, you had all those show stops, and then were there show stops in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory on tour?
Hold on. Did we stop the show in Charlie a lot? Oh, the carts. But I called out the night in San Francisco. Sorry, I'm getting help.
He is consulting other sources.
Right. Father Bucket. Inside, I was consulting my boyfriend who played the dead dad in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Is the dad a ghost in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
He's like, has this like dance moment and like does like a beautiful ballet solo with the mom during "If Your Father's Here." It's actually really pretty.
Oh, okay.
It's a great moment in the show. But okay, so
I can't judge. I haven't seen it.
Great. I might have a video for you. No, don't watch it.
So tell me the mishap.
So there's a few. So apparently I wasn't there for this. I was at my brother's wedding, and they held the show for 45 minutes because of the screens. Was it the screens? Oh, all automation just stopped working in Virginia. So they stopped the show for like 45 minutes to try and fix it. Jesus. So like that, but automation stopped working a few times on that. Like there were these like Oompa Loompa carts. Like when we first like met the Oompa Loompas, they came out on this cart. And if they, and there was like, they were like held in with magnets, but like the bottom of the Oompa shoes were magnetic as well. And so one of the Oompa shoes caught on the like little pin that keeps the carts together. Mm-hmm. And it like got taken out. And then there was no automation to get them off. And they all had to like get off the cart and like, kind of like Oompa Loompa off, but we stopped the show, so a lot of people just were like with their Oompa puppet like stood up and like walked off stage. And it was like, okay, well, there goes that imagination.
Yeah, the illusion is shattered.
There was a few times we stopped the show because of the Oompa carts, but there was a few times that the screens didn't work, but we kept going. Mm-hmm. But in Fly, we stopped the show a few times because like the flying was insane. Like, it was incredible, and like this flying was different than any flying that you've kind of seen before. Like, instead of just going like side to side like in every other Peter Pan, mm-hmm. like we, like the way the tracks worked were that like they, like you could go 360 degrees around, which was like super cool, super fun. Yeah. Like, I would like fly in when I was doing understudy rehearsals, I'd fly in like and land on a pirate ship that was like so high, and then like land on the deck of the pirate ship, and then like fly over the pirate ship onto the deck. Like, it was really crazy. But there was some like flying sequences with like Wendy, Peter, and Tinkerbell that like they got tangled up a few times and like we had to stop them. But like those were like just like kinks, and like once that was like figured out, we never had to stop the show. We probably stopped the show like 4 times in all of our 27 previews, which is like pretty awesome.
For previews, absolutely. I mean, yeah. They were stopping Spider-Man 2 years into the run.
Right. and the people who did our flying do flying for like Cirque and like most, like literally like every show on Broadway that's ever had flying, like they will, yeah.
They have it together. Were you involved with Fly just for this production, or have you done like other workshops or readings of it?
This is my first time being involved with it, and I like, it's truly like one of the coolest pieces I've worked on. Like the team is out of this world. Like the choreo is like unreal. It's like Andy Blankenbuehler and Stephanie Clemens co-choreographed. Mm-hmm. And it's just so cool. And it's like a different Peter Pan. And I think that I know everyone's like, no, Peter Pan again, but it's like, it's super cool because it's like this show, yes, Peter Pan is in it, but it's Wendy's story. And it's like time to have a story, like a Peter Pan that's like driven by Wendy. Like, it's just super, super interesting. And like,
I've
always
liked Wendy as a character. I find her, she's smart. She's insightful. She has hormones. She's the only one in the story that makes any choices driven by her hormones. And I'm all here for that shit.
It's super cool. And like Storm is amazing. And they make Wendy such a badass. And
Storm Lover played?
Yeah.
You know that actually the apartment that I'm currently living in before I move, she used to live in.
Oh, well.
Yeah. We would get mail for her a lot. And I finally met her at a concert that a friend of mine had directed that she was in. And I was like, hey, so I'm in your old apartment. I'm getting a lot of your mail. So we exchanged numbers. And every like 2 months, I would give her whatever mail showed up.
Hilarious.
Yeah. And I think how do you say her last name? Michaela?
Izzy.
Yeah. Was she in Fly too? I feel like she was.
Yeah, she was Tinkerbell.
Yeah, I think she lived here with Storm. Because
they're roommates, yeah.
Yeah, because once or twice we would get mail for her too. But it was always like from Wells Fargo. I was like, I don't think she needs this. It was like, you know, here's an offer for cards and for credit score. And I'm like, she don't need this.
Oh, I was like, an offer. I was like, nobody gets an offer for a show via mail. Could you imagine? It's like you open your mail. It's like a college acceptance letter. But like you made the role of like.
Should I ever do a production of Waitress and want to cast you, I will send you a formal letter that says, Dear Mr. Quadrino, you are being offered the role of Jenna in this American Repertory Theater production of Waitress.
Like a big T though, like I would actually love to play Obi, and I hope that show gets done regionally everywhere because I want to play Obi.
Oh, you know what's going to get done regionally. That show is, it sounds like a burn when I say, oh, that show is made for regional theater. I don't mean it as a burn, just like.
No, it's because it's like a good sell. Like so is Newsies. Like so is like things that are like popular like that, like they will do so well regionally.
Oh, absolutely. And you did Newsies B-Way and regionally.
Everywhere.
How many times have you done the show?
I've done it 3 times. I'm from not thinking I'd never be in the show to to doing it there on Broadway for a year. Then I did it at Pittsburgh CLO, and then I went right from CLO to the Muni. And I did
right. So long ago. So
the
long
Muni's ago. Production was so cool because, like, I don't know, it just felt so real because, like, we were outside and like the Newsies live on the street, and it was just something special about
The Muni in St. Louis, which has a stage the size of a football field.
And I was crutching from like 35 right to 35 left. I'm like, in an 8 count. I'm like, oh shit. Like I'm like, trying to not die. Like
trying to like limp in a believable manner, but still get across 35 feet of stage in the same amount of music. Yeah. That's
like flinging my like body forward every time I would crutch.
That reminds me. So we'll get into like how you're entertaining yourself in this quarantine in a second. How I'm entertaining myself besides sideshow bootlegs is rereading a bunch of stuff on my bookshelves as I'm like packing it away. So every night, like I find a book that I'm packing and I'm like, I'll read a chapter of you tonight because I'm not going to go through it all. My attention span is too shot for that now. So I read a chapter from, I read a chapter from Patti LuPone's memoir last night, and she talks about Sunset Boulevard, and she's like, One of the reviews said, oh, Miss Lapone goes up and down the stairs like she's a football player, like hustling across the field. And she was like, then I ran like that. And she's like, and I want to be clear, I ran up those stairs is because she's like, I am 5'2". Those stairs were about 30. Yeah. Those stairs were like 30 feet long. And Andrew wrote 20 seconds of music and he would not add anymore. So in order to get up the stairs, I had to run. So that just, it's a long way to get to my point, but that's reminding me of that.
Patti LuPone during this quarantine has been incredible. Like the updates she's giving us, like the tour of the basement. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watched, I forget which live stream concert it was. Oh, it was Rosie's, where she, did you watch that?
Like, I did not watch the Rosie one.
Or like, if you haven't watched the Rosie live stream concert, I think it's on YouTube. They have amazing performances by like all these Broadway people. But Patti, you get to Patti and she's in her basement and she's like, I'm going to do two for you. And I was like, of course, Patti's going to sing two songs for us. And I forget which one of them is. But then she does, you know, that song, Smile. Smile though your heart is breaking.
Yeah.
So she does it. Then cut to like, 20 minutes later, Audra McDonald does the same song. And I'm like, did nobody talk to each other? Like, it should have been, I'm like, Patty's like, I'm doing Smile. And then Audra does Smile and does like this like beautiful arrangement with Will Smith. And I wasn't mad that I heard the song twice. I just think it's so funny that like one Patti was like, everyone's singing like a 2 minute song. Patti has two. Like, I'm just like, work, go Patti, do your thing.
It was probably like a spur of the moment. She was on the stream and then she was like, actually, I'm gonna do a second one as well. Now that I'm here, it's all good.
Yeah. Well, she's like, I'm gonna do two for you, and then she like just gets her starting note on the piano, and then like just like sings a cappella. She's like, Smile, my heart is breaking. You know, I'm just like, oh my god, I'm dead for Patti LuPone.
That was a pretty good Patti right there.
Thank you. She flips a lot, and I feel like I flip a lot too. So.
Yes, she, especially now that she's hit 70, she really likes to flip into her head voice a lot, which is like.
I'm trying to think of something that she says or that she sang in a smile. Jackson, don't bark. Come out here. Come on out. Okay. Never mind. My dog's barking at something. But anyway, I can't think of what she flipped.
She always does it when it's like two notes on a syllable. Or if it's like a really quick clip. So like in Anything Goes, she has something in a bourgeoisie, like the E vowel on bourgeoisie she flips into. I can't do it.
Bourgeoisie.
Yeah, bourgeoisie. It's, I don't know, it's fun. It's fun.
Billy, I beg to differ with you.
How do you mean?
You're the top.
Yeah.
You're an arrow collar. You're the top. You're a Coolidge dollar.
How have you been staying busy in this quarantine other than reading your bookshelf?
As I pack,
well, you're reading your bookshelf.
I'm literally reading my bookshelf. Well, I can show. I'm going to show Danny right now. This is my actual bookshelf right now. You can see that it's empty because I've been packing everything.
It has a teddy bear on top of it.
It has a couple. Actually, has a couple of stuffed animals on top. for those of you that follow me on Instagram and have been following my my pieces, you'll know that I have a cast of characters that are all the stuffed animals in my room that I recreate certain scenes from movies or TV shows from, and we lip sync to them like it's Dub Smash. It's fun.
I have been following them and they are very good.
Thank you. I just did Mean Girls. It went over very well. The one before that was Not Another Teen Movie, to which the response was mostly, what's this from? Because,
and then you're like, what? How do you not know that?
Well, I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say Not Another Teen Movie is super canon, but there's a lot of big names in that.
But sure, yes. And if you're our age, you should know that movie.
Oh, 100%. But you and I are very pop culture oriented gays, so we consume.
We're very cultured.
Yes, we're very cultured.
Have you been watching any good TV?
I've been watching
Little Fires Everywhere. Did you watch that?
I have not yet. So my mom gave me the book of Little Fires Everywhere, and I want to read that first, but I've decided I'm going to actually finish the 7th Harry Potter book. I reread the series every year. I was in the middle of rereading it when this all happened. And I like got too unmotivated to continue, but I finally like powered through and I finished the 6th one. I'm on 7. I'm going to finish it, then read Little Fires Everywhere.
Do you ever, have you listened to the audiobooks of Harry Potter? They're very good.
I have. I've listened to 4 and 5 with Jim Dale, and I like it a lot. But I don't know. I like reading them. It gives me
a sure, of course.
The TV I'm currently watching, besides Drag Race, obviously, which and I will get
to talk
in a second.
About that.
We absolutely will. If you don't think, ladies and gentlemen, I know that sometimes you get annoyed when John and I talk about Drag Race, but if you thought that I was going to have Daniel Quadrino.
That was annoying.
Well, if you think I was going to have Daniel Quadrino on this podcast and we were not going to discuss Drag Race when he's the first person to publicly shame me for not watching it 4 years ago, which I just realized, by the way, I've known you for almost 4 years. That is crazy to me.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we
that
filmed.
That is very crazy.
We filmed in the fall of 2016, so like 3.5 years.
What Bacon Can Do on Broadway, we filmed what 4 years ago.
So. But yes, if you thought that I wasn't going to discuss it with him, you are tripping. But so in addition to Drag Race, I'm also binge watching Grey's Anatomy, which I had watched the first few seasons when it was on TV. And then I stopped around season 3. Whenever the fairy happened and Meredith like died and went to the beyond and then came back, I was like out.
Right.
But I said, well, what else am I going to do? There are 16 seasons right. I can watch. So I thought I was going to stop it by the fairy again, but nope, here we are at season 9.
You I kept going. Good.
Have you ever watched it? Have you ever watched it?
Not religiously. I've seen some episodes and like, yeah, but we just started Ozark, which is like super fucked up.
You are the, who else? Joshua
35th
Burridge.
Person to tell you.
Yeah, Joshua Burridge was on last week and he was telling me about Ozark and he said,
it's crazy.
That's what he said. And he's like, I don't want to say too much without spoiling it because I want you to watch it. And he basically said, like a family that does business. And I was like, well, you truly spoiled
it. Well, it's a family that does stuff and they have to move towns or else things are going to happen for them that aren't going to be so good. So that's what I'll tell you. We're on episode 3. I can't really watch it before bed because it stresses me out. Mm. But we've also been watching, back to Harry Potter. My boyfriend had never seen all of the Harry Potter movies. Mm. So we watched on tour, we were watching them and we got up to like 4. So we watched 5, 6, 7 here. And what else have we been watching? We watch a lot of Food Networks. Mm. I love Chopped Junior. It's so good and it makes me feel terrible about myself. Even though I feel like I can cook, but
Chopped is not as good as these kids. Gordon Ramsay is Iron Chef, not Chopped.
Yeah.
Right.
Chopped is the guy, Ted, from the OG Queer Eye.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's really great. And then I love a Cutthroat Kitchen moment. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's so good. They get $2,500 and they can like, there's sabotages that like come into play that like you can bid on. And if you win the sabotage, you sabotage other players and they have to like use tinfoil as utensils to cook or like cook in like a random, like you should honestly give it a go and watch one episode. Alton Brown is the host and he's insane, but it's
where
really
can
good.
I, where can I find you know, it?
Hulu.
Hulu. Okay. Hulu.com. I'll take a look.
Or food, like anywhere. Yeah. Or when you get to your mom's, if she has cable, you can just watch. It's always on the Food Network.
She do have cable. I also have been.
She do have cable.
She do have cable. I've been using my friend's Disney Plus account and watching a lot.
Oh, it's great. We love Disney Plus.
Watching a lot of OG Disney, like super classic Disney, seeing how they hold up, stuff that I hadn't seen in forever. So like I watched Dumbo the other day. Dumbo does not hold up, by the by. For anyone who is wondering.
Have you watched Brave?
Oh, I saw Brave.
Or not Brave. Onward.
Oh, Onward. No, I have not watched Onward yet. Onward is on my list.
You need to watch it.
That's what I've been told.
It's so good.
Onward is going to be after. I'm going to watch Lilo and Stitch first because I've never seen Lilo and Stitch.
Have you been watching any That's So Raven? Because that shit still holds up.
You know what I was watching? I was watching Encore because John told me to watch it.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, my God. I like cry every other episode, but then I'm.
But you're you. It's good, yeah. Except like you really can't binge watch Encore because you come to realize they all have the same formula. Every episode is the same, really, with like tweaks here and there. But you know, there's always one person in the cast who like had some life-shattering accident or illness happen to them.
And then there's one who wanted to be a performer, and then it like didn't. Or you know, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
And there's the showman.
You gotta like periodically watch them.
Exactly. I was asking John.
The Godspell one is really good.
I've watched the Annie Get Your Gun one is the one that I'm obsessed with because that has the woman
who
does not get over her high school showmans. And she's an OBGYN with diamond earrings and a husband and a daughter and a kitchen straight out of a Nancy Meyers movie. And all she can talk about
is
she's still not over it. And I'm, like, and I'm sitting here being like, bitch, you won life. Can you just like move on?
Bridge and get the over it. Yeah.
Get over it.
Okay. We need to talk about Drag Race.
Okay. Danny's like, enough with this pretense. Let's go balls deep. Okay. Drag Race. We are on season 12. If you don't watch Drag Race, you might just want to skip to the end of this episode because I'm going to assume this is going to take up the rest of the episode.
Okay. So sad that Jan went. Oh, wait. Spoiler alert.
Oh, no.
So if you are watching and you're not caught up. Okay. I'm just going to be polite. But sad that Jan went home. She'll be on All Stars. 100%.
Yeah, she will be on All Stars. I'm sad. Because she's very talented.
Right. But I think she tried to do too much all at once. And
yes.
Yeah. But I think my top four are Jackie, Crystal, Jada, Heidi. And I love,
You already did four. You said Jada.
I know.
Crystal. Is Gigi not up there for you?
I really like Gigi, but like the past couple of episodes, she has been bothering me.
Yes, that is fair.
I love Gigi, and I think that she will be in the top four. But like I love Heidi so much, and I love Jackie Cox so much. Like I think I want Jackie to be in the top four so bad because she's also it's like a New York queen. Like I'm rooting for her. You know.
Yeah, we like our New York queens. It's actually, I'm happy you and I are talking about this because John and I have not really discussed Drag Race on this pod since it premiered when all the Sherry Pie scandal like broke and we mostly just like deconstructed the scandal and not the show. I am very interested to see what this season would have looked like in the original edits because it is very clear.
We've been saying the same thing. She got the winner edit.
Yeah. Well, I think she and Gigi, their edits were originally like, because I think it would have actually been really compelling TV if at first it was Gigi and Sherry who were winning everything, getting these like major winning edits. And then all of a sudden the other queens start coming in from behind and taking wins away from them. Like, Heidi and then Jada, and then I'm positive Jada's gonna win another one. Crystal's it seems is gonna be poised to take a win at some point to even out the playing field. So it gives this almost false narrative of these two neck and neck front runners. It's like, oh, it's gonna be between these two, but oh wait, look at this, they're starting to fumble. Yeah. Sherry wasn't doing well in the last couple of episodes either, and now
it's a really really great season
is even
like, if you've never watched Drag Race before, like this would be like, and you want to get started, like you didn't have access to watching everything. Like, I feel like this is a good season to watch too.
Absolutely.
I feel like it's like pretty strong.
Well, it's a really good batch of queens and, and no one is really the same. There are queens who are very good at turning looks, but are also comedy queens. Everybody's very well-rounded. And
the fashion this year has been like,
mind-blowing.
I haven't seen, like, I'm sure I've seen one thing I haven't liked, but like, there's been nothing that I'm like, ew, that's horrible. How did you get on the show?
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't say that Aiden's runway was ever like flat out.
Oh, I forgot
horrible.
About her.
Yeah, we all forgot about Aiden.
We all forgot about her.
Yeah. It's less that Aiden's runways were flat out horrible and more just, did you think this was going to be memorable? Did you think that this was fashion?
Right. And like, I like couldn't help but feel for her because like, I felt bad for her because everybody was like ganging up on her, but I also felt like she wasn't opening up. And it was just like one of those things where you're just like, okay, you know, and I'm like, I have to remember it's a TV show. Like,
yeah.
You like get too like invested. But I seriously, I was definitely Team Jan from day one, and I'm very sad, but I'm still Team Jan.
She's a musical theater girl. I will say, so Drag Race is an interesting enterprise because it's a very specific endeavor. It's not really indicative of the drag world. Like, how good you are, what you do outside of Drag Race doesn't matter the moment you walk into the workroom.
Right.
As Britta Filter learned, or sorry, Britta, as Britta learned. Because Britta is,
you know, I found out she stopped her social media because she was getting so much hate mail.
Yeah, I saw that too.
She wasn't great, but like, I didn't think she deserved hate mail.
She got a very shady edit, but I think she will, once the season is over, and honestly, I think what has hurt is that because of quarantine, these queens aren't out at like live events promoting themselves.
The club.
So the fans don't get to see Britta out in the world with people interacting about the stuff or interacting with the other queens. It's just the show. But
do you watch Housewives? I forget.
Housewives, no. You gays love the fucking Housewives.
No. I've loved Housewives since day one.
I'm sure you did, girl. I'm just saying, all the gays love them.
But like quarantine, we said that it feels like we're like living in the days of like, I need to look at the TV guide. Mm-hmm. And like the only thing getting me through this is like live television. So like Tuesdays is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Tuesdays is Vanderpump. Wednesdays is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We don't really watch Vanderpump. Thursdays is New York. Friday is Drag Race, and now Celebrity Drag Race, which I feel like they're like really shoving Drag Race down our throat with that extra Drag Race. I love it, but like, and I'll watch it, but like, I don't know.
Well, the rumor I heard was that Celebrity Drag Race was actually going to premiere later this year, but that now that Sherry Pie has made it to the end and Untucked it features her so much more prominently, because like, you can't edit out Sherry Pie from Untucked when there are four queens in there, you know?
They already like edit out her like runway sometimes, and I'm like,
yeah, oh, like the Disney episode. But because they can't really edit her out of Untucked anymore, they're trying to sort of bury Untucked over the next 4 weeks by doing Celebrity Drag Race before it, and now Untucked gets aired so much later at night. That is the tea that I heard, and honestly, makes sense. But
does make sense.
Yeah, it also is maybe a little truthery, you know, like the conspiracy theories behind Celebrity Drag Race.
Winner, winner, chicken.
Chicken dinner. Well, so as someone who watches Real Housewives, did you find Jackie Cox's Snatch Game funny? She did
1,000%. She was Lisa Rinna. It was literally like to a T, Lisa Rinna. Like I thought it was amazing.
Because I, as I will say, Drag Race is the only reality show I watch. I don't watch The Housewives. So I had no idea really what she was doing.
Yeah, you didn't know.
Yeah. But Jonathan Bennett.
It was very spot on. Yeah. Yeah. It was spot on.
Yeah. Because I feel like for the last few weeks, I have been a Gigi Good apologist in the sense that I had to defend two of her wins to people in the community. I thought she deserved to win Snatch Game. I thought her choice of character as the talkative robot
was... She shouldn't have won the singing challenge.
Oh, but see, this is where I disagree with you.
But she shouldn't have won, but I feel like anybody who did Gigi's verse would have won.
That's possible. I think Jan could have won. Everyone kept on saying that Jan was set up to win that challenge and that she should have won that challenge. And like, yes, Jan sang the house down. You and I are theater girls. So like, we can recognize talent when talent is on stage. Jan has the most amazing voice. She sang the house down. However, it is artistically incorrect to oversing as Madonna. First of all, just saying. And I also found her performance to be very energetic, but not actually embodying the magnetic.
Sure.
Madonna,
okay.
I thought Gigi and Jada both did. I think if Gigi and Jada had swapped tracks, you're right, Jada would have absolutely won the challenge. What was that face? You made a face.
No, I got a random call from a number I didn't know. So I just...
You're asking about your credit score. if like Gigi and Jada had switched tracks, I think Jada would have won because... Gigi did have a good track, but also she and Jada were so good at channeling the Madonna energy. And right. I thought the two of them out of everybody pissed all over that fucking stage and just like wiped the floor with their presence.
But I feel like also if you're going to do as a singer, if you're going to do a singing thing, I don't care if you're doing Madonna, you're doing Rihanna, you're doing Lady Gaga, you're doing anybody. if you're going to do a singing challenge and it's the only singing challenge of the thing, you're going to fucking sing the house down, and you should be praised for that.
Which she was. She was praised for her vocals, but so it's similar to the season 6 singing challenge, Shade the Rusical, when...
Love that one.
It's a great one. When Courtney Act
Shady won... Shady Queen, no, what they are.
We are the comedy queens. It's...
See, God, like, so, I'm the biggest Adore Delano stan, like...
Oh, I adore Adore. I adore.
I adore Adore.
And I'm sorry, guys. This is so inside baseball, so apologies. But Adore and Courtney rightfully were in the top two for that episode. But they were able to create personas of their own design, if that makes sense. They weren't playing real people. So singing the house down made sense in the context of what they were doing. So I feel like Jan could have held back a little bit on the pyrotechnics and done a bit more Madonna-isms. It was very much Jan and Madonna drag, and not Jan channeling Madonna.
Totally. Totally. So, I feel that. I
which is...
I also, yes.
Yes. Which is that me saying, like, if Jan had won, I would not have been upset, but I can understand completely why Gigi won.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And so I spent like 2 weeks saying, and I had that all prepared in my head because I spent 2 weeks after Gigi won having to defend myself about that.
Hilarious.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
So we'll do a quick wrap up then before you peace out. Last thoughts on Drag Race on this season for you.
Okay, I really just feel like Sherry Pie fucked everything up and it's all her fault.
That's a hot take. I agree with all of it.
But also I am so happy that like we have Fridays as a community to look forward to Drag Race, and that RuPaul is on during this time of staying inside. Like, I really, I just feel like that's a positive thing that we have. Like, Fridays is definitely like a good day. I wake up and I'm like, it's Drag Race day.
I feel the same, especially because I Zoom with friends and we all watch it together. It's very nice.
Oh, that's so nice. See, like, I can't do that because I'm on a different time zone than all my friends in New York. So, like, I'm like,
I'm so sorry.
But
I'm so sorry.
I mean, David watch it together, and it's usually the day that we like order in or don't cook, and then we, like, watch Drag Race.
Yeah, it's a luxurious day. Yeah. Okay, now bringing back to theater for a quick second for all of your fans out there. Wicked, Bye Bye Birdie, Newsies. Of the three, those are your three shows, right? Those three? Okay. Of those three, which was the most challenging for you to do?
Newsies.
In every respect, like vocally,
yes, I was singing. I was singing soprano. I was tenor. I was singing tenor one. I was dancing my ass off, catching like, and I was like a singer track, but I was dancing, and I did every bit of choreography. I just didn't have like tricks, so like that made my track more of a singing track.
Anything,
but I was doing everything.
Sorry, you were saying, man. I cut you off.
Oh, no, you're fine. I was doing, I think that one was just like the most physically demanding. And plus, I was taking 18 credits at Pace University my senior year. So, like, I was doing like 18 credits a week plus 8 shows on Broadway a week. I wouldn't change it for the world. It was the most amazing thing. But I definitely was a zombie at some points. And we had Thursdays off at Newsies. So my day off wasn't even like a day off, like, because I had Italian at 9 a.m.
That is
a voice lesson.
That is amazing. Worst onstage fuck up for you in Newsies, besides your hat falling off on your opening night?
Breaking my hand.
You broke your hand?
So the towers are like really heavy, and the gates are all magnetic, and during the World Will Know, we were like running up the towers and making this like zigzag, and one of the gates like got off of its magnet and landed on the top of my hand and like cracked the top of my hand. Finished act one, did Seize the Day, did a toe touch over someone's head with one hand.
Oh my God. You are.
So that, but it wasn't really a fuck up because like that was like a freak accident.
Yeah. But still, you know, like Taylor Swift, they
so
all
like,
have
that
you
was
in
like
common.
The best. Right. That was, it's me. But I think my biggest like onstage fuck up was during Wicked when I was, Averick, Fiero's driver, and I drove that little cart. Mm-hmm. I drove it into the wing my first week of the show, and I hit the proscenium, and it was like, the whole proscenium shook.
Way
but
to go.
You live, you learn.
You live, you learn. Last couple of questions. Other than the giant pound of Mike and Ike's, other favorite fan gifts that have been given to you?
I've gotten like the coolest, like during Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I got the coolest art. Like I would get sent like drawings of like me as Mike T or like me and Jackson or like anything. Like I've gotten like really, really cool like fan art drawings, and I save them all. I have a giant box of things that I have from like literally Birdie to now, and I have a couple of my Mike TD things hung up at home in my parent at my parents like in my room, my parents' house. I have like a lot of the fan art stuff. Okay. I have like, yeah, it's like Mike TD stuff, and like I got a lot of drawings as like crutchy too, like super cool drawings. Like it's so cool when people share their gifts like that, and I'm like, I have no drawing ability whatsoever.
Same.
Like, and it's really, really cool. So those are like my favorite things.
But listen, you sing and you paint with all the colors of the wind, and that is your version of drawing. Last question, and then we'll wrap shit up. Celebrity backstage visitor that most floored you?
Ooh, that's really hard. Shit.
I ask deep questions.
That's a really good question. During Newsies, we had Jake Gyllenhaal, and I was like dead because I was like, "Oh my god, Jake Gyllenhaal's here."
To quote Ginger Minj, flood my basement.
dead.com. But during Birdie, we had like the entire Full House cast come, so like that was pretty cool.
Okay, including Mary Kate and Ashley.
No, they slept through the performance. They were supposed to come to.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know if they slept through it, but they were supposed to come to a man name, and they didn't.
Gross.
Yeah. But I've been like, I think Jake Gyllenhaal is probably the most like, oh, and Tamra Judge from The Housewives came to see Wicked, and someone knows that I love The Housewives. So then on Twitter, they were like going, she was saying that she was there. And so like I tweeted at her being like, I'm in the show, would love to meet you, blah, 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 blah. And like, I know the cast would love to meet you. And then someone connected us via Instagram. We were Instagram messaging. I brought her and her daughter backstage, gave them a whole fucking tour. It was amazing. So I wasn't floored by her, but I was like, we're friends now.
Yeah, now you're friends with the housewife, so you can rest easy, die peacefully. On your tombstone it'll say he made friends with a housewife.
Yeah, Tamra Judge and I are friends. Yeah, but that's about it.
That's beautiful. Danny, where can people find you on all that social media?
Instagram.com. I don't know if there's a website, but it's Instagram, and my username is Danny Quadrino. And I don't really use Twitter, but it's connected. Everything's connected via Instagram.
Fantastic. Do you have a website?
Yes. I actually don't. I've been doing this for 10 years, and I don't have a website. And I was like, maybe I should make one during quarantine. And I was like, nah.
Yeah. I was the same boat. I was like, I think now's the time I'll do a website. And then I said, no. We have until
thank
the end
you
of
for
2020.
Having me. This was, of course, very, very fun.
Thank you for coming on, Danny. Like and subscribe to our podcast, everybody. Rate us, write us a nice little review. It helps with the algorithm. Danny, we close out with a Broadway diva at the end of every episode. Do you have one that you would like to choose for us to close out on? Do you remember who you chose last time? I have it written down.
It was someone random.
It was
random. Was it Patti LaBelle last night?
No, it was older than that. Older and more British.
No clue.
You said Angela Lansbury last time.
Okay. I'm going to say Shoshana Bean.
Okay. That is what we would call a 180, everybody.
And you should listen to everything that Shoshana Bean has on iTunes, Apple Music, and Spotify. I love Shoshana Bean with all my heart.
I will do just that. I will listen to everything she has recorded simply because you told me to. All right. In the meantime, everybody, keep quarantining, all that good stuff. We love you. Thanks, Danny. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suf's celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.